Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be reading the fourth and final part to Symbolism and Consciousness. I have been describing the development of symbols in reference to reality and the anthropomorphizing, personification, and projection of aspects of ourselves onto reality in order to make sense of ourselves in relation to reality. This is where the symbolism comes from, trying to relate ourselves to reality to understand ourselves and reality. I posit that much of the symbolism reveals deeper wisdom about how to live life correctly, morality, and other self-knowledge. It was developed and encoded through esoteric symbolism in metaphor, allegories, analogies, and parables, using references to ourselves and reality in order to provide a comparative framework for understanding, the basic exoteric layer that answers some questions with fulfilling concepts, ideas, and beliefs, may also be the origin, as is assumed in a linear progression of developing deification of aspects of reality. I have a quote from a site, Real History for Sumerian Religion. It says, Sumerian religion has its roots in the worship of nature, such as the wind and water. The ancient sages of Sumer found it necessary to bring order to that which they did not understand, and to this end they came to the natural conclusion that a greater force was at work. The forces of nature were originally worshipped as themselves. However, over time, the human form became associated with those forces. Gods in human form were now seen to have control over nature, hence the anthropomorphizing personification of projection of ourselves onto reality. It's at the root of our attempt to correspond and analogize reality with ourselves. So first is reality, second is knowledge from perception, and third are symbols of that knowledge from reality. So from reality to thoughts to meaning and purpose in imagination. Imagination is based directly on reality or subjective concepts that aren't directly reflected from a grounding in reality. So it's either you base them in reality or they're just purely speculative. Subjective imaginations can try to provide answers through speculations, concepts, ideas, and are simply belief for the moment, which may be true or false. There are two main paths on how to understand symbols. One is as a literal interpretation of reality, and the second one is as a symbolic interpretation about reality. The earlier form may have been developed first, most likely, however long ago, 10,000, 100,000 years ago, who knows? And this is in reference to the pre-flood, pre-ice age civilization. There's likely ancient civilizations from where all of our current understanding comes from. All of our current esoteric, symbolic understanding comes from, whereby we only think we came from the Dark Ages and progressed in a linear manner, whereas the truth may be that we have had troubles coexisting as powerful creators and generators of good and evil, the power of our double-edged sword of consciousness. The first beliefs were easily used to manipulate the gullible consciousness of people looking for security, comfort, and well-being in face of the unknown. In the face of the unknown, they could think and imagine of after dying. Of the fear of the unknown, and the insecurity, discomfort, confusion, and anxiety that comes with not having an answer to provide firm footing to fill the abyss of the unknown questions we ask. This is where the science of imagery from the priest controllers, the symbolic sorcerers, the dark occultists comes in. People were already in the experience of suffering, if not from the benign imaginations they had that produced fear, confusion, and anxiety, but also from the survivalist game of life all animals engage in. If someone can promise you through convincing rhetoric, symbol manipulation, science of imagery, inducing, invoking, and summoning feelings inside of you of hope, faith, and belief in something else, then they have their claws into your consciousness, your sense of self, your sense of reality. With the control of imagery, instead of the natural development of associating ourselves and nature with external forces for simple relief of questions with unknown answers from imagination, people of dark consciousness sought to use these pre-existing beliefs, models, and frameworks to alleviate fears, and control people through these fears of the unknown that they desperately wanted answers to in order to provide a semblance of grounding and solid footing for purpose and meaning in life. Answers don't have to be real and accurate. They only need to fill the abysmal void of fear, confusion, anxiety, insecurity, doubt, and discomfort of the unknown. That's why imagination and belief is powerful, but it doesn't have to be real answers that you envision to provide you with comfort and feel good about your sense of self and sense of reality. This is how the world has been driven into slavery, through abstract beliefs and the hope and faith in their accuracy, because they provide stopgaps for the holes in our models and frameworks for understanding ourselves and reality, to provide answers to why and how we are here, where are we going, and the purpose and meaning, the reason for being, etc. As I said, other animals do not have the higher order consciousness to drive themselves mad with imaginations as we do. We are very powerful beings of consciousness, with the capacity to yield great power over ourselves, others, and reality. With great power comes great responsibility. People are failing to understand the immense power of belief and how it can shape the direction of life for ourselves and other beings. Foundational axioms, beliefs that are deeply held, such as those that provide a conception of ourselves and reality, whether accurate or not, are what drive our actions and behaviors. Look at history that is written, and you can understand the power we have based on what we have been sold as beliefs and have accepted. Look at Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, the Inquisition, and more. There are thousands of cases in history of the distant past, and even history that is ongoing in the recent centuries and decades. We are all fooled by belief, buying what other people and society is selling. Providing answers to questions people want an answer to is an easy way to infatuate someone, love bomb them, and create and provide them with feel-good comfort of having an answer to a question. Beliefs that provide answers and the feel-good attachment to their sustainment is very important to understand in psychology. Take away someone's belief that they use to make sense of themselves or reality, and you are taking away part of their ego personality identity construct in many cases. People do not like to lose themselves. They need to understand the need to understand you are lost in fantasy, belief in speculation, and unreality is required to finally give them up, give up those beliefs, and reformulate your understanding of reality in a more objective capacity. The need for an answer is a deep yearning we have as thinkers who question, especially the more meaningful or unknown ones, such as God or the afterlife or after death. Having an answer that fills the unknown does not mean it is true. It just means you have something to fill the emptiness of not knowing, to fill a gap in conceptions. People do not understand how lost they are and seek to find out who they really are apart from People need to understand how lost they are and seek to find out who they really are apart from the false world we live in and the false selves we are. People need to accept that they cannot always have an accurate answer and need to forego grasping onto straws simply in order to provide something to fill the hole of the gap with. People need to understand that the way out of belief and subjective unreality is to ground our understanding of ourself and reality in objective reality itself, while allowing speculative possibilities and beliefs to exist from our subjective realities, but not as definitive answers that are chosen simply to give us some illusory grounding as an answer. Look around at everyone. They all live on this false grounding, this illusory grounding in belief in unreality projected as reality, from government to religion to many other aspects of life. All around we live in falsity. Simply because man can create something into reality does not make it a valid creation to live by and perpetuate. People are accepting the veil of appearances as reality and do not see the substantive greater truths that these unreal illusions mask and cover up. So the appearance of religion is good, the appearance of government is good, the appearance of the army is good, the appearance of police is good, But they don't see the substantive greater truths of what's objective morality, what's authority, what's slavery, how slavery is authority, how authority is slavery, how it's a domination and control from authority. And these things aren't good, despite the appearances that they're good. People don't look at substantive reality. They're stuck in illusions and false self-living. Alternatively to option one, where literal interpretations of reality, there's option two, the symbolic interpretations about reality. So alternatively to option one of how symbols are developed, there is option two of real symbolic representation of true knowledge in reality was developed first and then replaced with fanciful beliefs secondarily, as opposed to beliefs first and then reality second and then beliefs third again for manipulation purposes. I don't see that as the most likely scenario. It would seem that honest development was first, and then corruption and control and manipulation came in afterwards. Not literal interpretations in order to control and manipulate to provide an answer to the complexity of reality, and then they developed symbolism about reality that was honest, as esoteric, hidden symbolism beneath what they already first developed as exoteric narratives. And then after that, then they went back to using it as control, and they just encoded the hidden symbolism. I think the hidden part about meanings about life, real, authentic, real, verifiable meanings about life and psychology and consciousness were developed first, and then the need to create analogies and correspondences through reality and symbols, the best way to convey that is through a correspondence, analogy, and the mythopoeic narrative, whereby you weave a tapestry of symbols into a story and narrative in order to explain it to people so that they can understand it as a story and narrative, which tells a story, and it has references to other things in reality that people already understand, so that they can understand this new concept from correspondence and analogous to the something else they already understand. There is no need to accept fanciful beliefs in order to live right and create a right life for everyone to live in an expression of the idea of heaven right here on earth. Imagination is good to lead us to better paths and ways of living, but not when we base reality on imagination, speculation, concepts, ideas, and beliefs that cannot be grounded back to reality, and we end up creating devolving and enslaving ways of life accepted as, quote, good. There have been millions upon millions of collective hours spent debating beliefs when all they were beliefs. Wars have been fought because of the beliefs and what they provided people in terms of sense images, self-concepts, and worldview, their sense of self and sense of reality. These beliefs became used as a basis for people's ego personality identity constructs. They have constructed themselves, their self, based upon falsity and unreality, fighting and warring over who they view themselves as and the need for that false self to perpetuate. The self is created in reality, this reality. The self needs to be recreated correctly in this reality as a true self, which is based in truth of this reality. A true self, higher self, as a belief in a disembodied soul or spirit, is not required and does not make sense in reality. You only need to understand that the true self is a reflection of truth and morality, and the higher self is the higher self that you progressively become compared to a lower self in falsity. Higher self is based in truth, lower self is based in falsity. It has nothing to do with supernatural forces, other dimensions of being, other realms, or anything else of belief and imagination in possibilities. All of the religious or, quote, spiritual beliefs are constructed through symbolic reference to nature, reality, and ourselves in an attempt at comparative correspondence with ourselves and reality in order to answer questions about ourselves and reality. Reflecting reality and ourselves onto each other or onto beliefs is a tricky game that can be dangerous and is not always accurate. Mirrors, reflection, and projection are tricksters at times. So you think you're seeing something properly, but it can be a reflection and a projection, so you don't see things properly. Think of the Hall of Mirror illusions. So we can mirror ourselves and reality as they are, so as an accurate reflection. So we see things as they accurately are, and we can mirror reality onto ourselves. So we're copying a false unreality as an alleged reality, as our understanding of reality. And we can mirror ourselves onto reality, which is where we're projecting falsity in the subjective reality as objective reality. So there's the false projection of ourselves. There's a false reflection of false perceptions of reality that we then reflect back onto us, and then we're creating ourselves in false images of reality. And there's the original accurate one, which is an accurate reflection of ourselves and reality feeding back. All the infatuation with ancient sources, as if it gives them authority, is a fallacy, as is the simplistic naturalist fallacy that is also used in conjunction with the time fallacy or ancestral fallacy in many beliefs. People actually believe this ancient knowledge was divinely inspired or intuited from an alleged, quote, higher self directly as purely formed knowledge from the nous in noesis or gnosis. This is subjective reality, feel-good self-infatuation about how special you believe yourself to be, how connected and meaningful you are in a vast planet of people and a vast universe. It provides self-importance and well-being, and is associated with our sense of self and sense of reality to make us feel something connected, special, meaningful, and purposeful. I see the development of thought through the imagination factory and abstraction engine of consciousness, not divine pure knowledge. It is an attempt to tie subjective imaginal reality down to objective concrete reality. I see these concepts develop over time, not appearing fully formed nor cohesive in all cases. Man is the generator, creator, and god of concepts and beliefs in an attempt to understand ourselves and reality more. All beliefs are created either to try to answer questions or in a maleficent way to manipulate others. We don't understand the double-edged sword and power we have. Go look at many of the ancient models of the universe and other conceptions. Some are laughable. Just read the accounts of their narratives and stories. Read the so-called conceptions of afterlife, God, etc., as they were originally developed and how ridiculous it is. They used metaphors and symbols to correspond reality to their imagined, invented belief in attempts to gain understanding. We want many beliefs to be true, so we don't look deeper into how all of these beliefs were originally created or generated, and for what purposes they were propagated. So I talked about that in the importance of origins. What's important of origins is to trace back the origins of beliefs as best as we can to see, well, was it actually a divine pure knowledge, or was it actually a belief invented by man that's been changed over time to try to make it more cohesive and more factually grounded in reality, even though it's not and it's always been a belief. So they were generated and created by the God power of consciousness. Humans created and generated these beliefs from the power of consciousness. Or another possibility is humans were fed these beliefs by alleged entities elsewhere that only seek to pervert our positive evolutionary development in truth and grounding and grounded reality that we live in here and now. I speak of, you know, the channeled entities or alleged aliens, alleged channeled entities. But they're just seeking to pervert us. I don't think that they're honest, that they're truly being honest. There's a lot of manipulation, and they're trying to fool us. Look beneath the veneer of the exoteric story and try to see if there is actual metaphor, analogy, simile, and allegory that corresponds with the reality. Pierce the veil of myth and see what the story is trying to actually tell you. Oftentimes, there is much more meaningful substance beneath the apparent fantasy narrative. The power of symbolism to affect beliefs is shown in the Bible. Graven images, symbols, are outlawed even before murder because of how powerful symbols can be to undo the mind control created through symbolic magic. Symbols can have archetypal meaning, inherently mirrored from reality, nature, and existence, that can bridge to an understanding of reality and consciousness. The tarot deck does such a thing. Astrology represents consciousness aspects as well, symbolically, not literal powers over our lives from the stars. The real magic is in knowing who we are in consciousness and how we function as consciousness. This is the magic of how to live life in alignment with reality by knowing who we are and how we respond and interact with reality and each other. Controlling people's ability to imagine through restricting image representations is going to restrict the ability to see possibilities beyond the programmed indoctrination that is fed through the authorized imagery fed to you. This power of imagination, however, can lead to pure invention of things that don't exist inherently in reality, both in a good or evil capacity, to create things that don't exist that are actually good, or thinking they're good and creating evil under the veil of good and propagating that into reality from the invention of imagination. Those who understand that the biblical narratives and stories veil esoteric hidden wisdom and truth beneath the veneer of exoteric symbolism, allegory, analogy, and parables through imagery used should also understand this applies to other narratives and stories that use symbols and narratives. So if you understand this aspect of parables, analogy, and allegory in the Bible, why aren't you applying it to all texts throughout history in order to understand the deeper esoteric, occulted, and coded wisdom and not simply believe in the exoteric story narrative? They are not telling us the meaningful things straight up front in the exoteric narratives. This applies everywhere that symbols are used to convey deeper meaning while using a cover story to weave a reflection of deeper wisdom. This applies in the Bible, in mythic tales, Egyptian symbolism, and elsewhere. Symbols in the form of pictographs or images are more powerful than abstract symbols in the form of letters. I've talked about this before. This is why I posit that the Egyptian symbolism is likely descended from the first source of knowledge that was passed down through symbolism from an age past, the pre-flood or pre-ice age. In understanding the development of language, symbolic imagery is first used, and then abstract symbols are developed for more abstractive capabilities in communication. The mythopoeic form of narrative of expressing concepts through analogous comparison is most easily adopted through pictographs and then development into letter language. The ancient Egyptians seem to have done the most with real images for communication before abstract symbol letters eventually took over. This indicates more knowledge at the time of creating narratives to express them in this multidimensional aspect of layers of meaning to encode deeper esoteric significance about truth and morality. Some original symbolism was likely perverted and corrupted to favor dominator culture. This altered the symbols used to represent the same concepts. But the changes could not completely remove the deeper significance that the symbols themselves had about life here and now, that original deeper symbolic wisdom that was covered over with a narrative to weave and convey that message through symbolism of reality that people already understood. The language controllers, scribes, priests, and such, were in the end trying to fleece the population in mind control with promises of an afterlife that mattered more. For those who posit Sumeria as the starting point, look at their important gods of nature. Anu, Enlil, and Enki are all males, just like dominator Egypt lore came to represent the creative aspect through anthropomorphism and projection of the way of thinking about ourselves in reality. Egypt has evidence of being built by people before the Nakata and other tribes settled there after the flood and ice age. The Sphinx and Giza pyramids are also made by other cultures, most likely. And also the Sumer in Egypt, male dominator, creator gods and deities, even though there's feminine counterparts, there's the male predominance. This indicates that they were a later development, because prior to that there was the female goddess, going back in at least in archaeologically dated times, 8000 BC, 10,000 BC, there's Turkey, and there's Göbekli Tepe, and there's other places in Anatolia, I think, and the importance of the feminine as the creator generator and not the masculine. So originally it was feminine, then it became dominator culture, man took over as the rule. And this is seen in Sumer and Egypt, gods as the predominant power source, the masculine. So that's part four. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your time and attention. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.